heard about a baby boy who came to earth to bring us joy, and I just came to sing this song for you. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift. With every breath I'm singing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. A couple came to Bethlehem, expecting child. They searched the inn to find a place, for you were coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger laid with hay, our only son was born. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, oh hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We shepherds left our flocks by night to see this baby wrapped in light. A host of angels led us all to you. It was just like the angel said, you'll find him in a manger bed. Emmanuel, our Savior, hallelujah, hallelujah, oh hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. A star shone bright up in the east. To Bethlehem the wise men three came many miles and journeyed long for you. And to the place at which you were, their frankincense and golden myrrh they gave to you and cried out, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Listen now. I know you came to rescue me. This baby boy would grow to be a man and one day die for me and you. My sins would drive the nails in you. That rugged cross was my cross too. Still every breath you drew was hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 oh hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Morning. For unto you a child is born. Thank you. I'm excited to be here this morning and introduce myself, I suppose. I'm Simeon the shepherd, and I've come today to share with you not the story of the birth of Jesus Christ, but the truth about the birth of Jesus Christ. God has sent me here to share that story and to tell you about a special gift that he has just for you at this time of the year. Well, let me tell you first of all about the birth. You're probably wondering, why would I be the one to tell you about the birth of Jesus Christ? Well, so am I. I'm wondering the same thing. You see, I'm just a lowly shepherd. And in my day and age in which I lived when Jesus was being born, shepherds were like the lowest of the low. Nobody talked to us. Nobody wanted us to testify at their trials. In fact, our testimony wasn't worth anything. And yet, one night while we were watching our sheep, my brother and I, we were just out on the plains outside of the city of Bethlehem, watching our sheep, and everything was quiet, when suddenly the light just exploded around us, and an angel of God appeared to us and said, you know what her first words were? Don't be afraid. Well, I was afraid. I was afraid. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news, which is great joy to all people. For in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And then they began to tell us how Jesus had been born in a manger in Bethlehem and that we should go and see him. And all of a sudden, the sky was filled. It's like the stars came alive. And angels began to sing, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to men of goodwill. And they sang, and it was beautiful. And we just watched. And then they were gone. And it was dark again. And I began to think to myself, was I like dreaming? Did it really happen? And I looked at my brothers and they looked as odd as I did. And I said, did you see that? We did, they said. What should we do? I said, well, let's go and see this thing that they've told us about. Well, where should we go? Well, they said it was in Bethlehem. Where? I don't know, but he's in a manger. Let's go find him. And so we ran into the city, and the city was really crowded at that time because a census had been ordered by Caesar, the great leader of the Roman nation. We hated him. Oh, people were there because they had to pay taxes. Do you pay taxes? Oh, yes. You live in Minnesota, of course you pay taxes. Taxes, we hated it. But everybody had to go to their city, so the city was packed with people. As we were running in through the dark into the city, we looked crazy. We were just so excited. We wanted to look and see where could this baby be. And all we knew was he was in a manger, so that told us what? Well, he wasn't in the Holiday Inn. He wasn't in any place special, so we had to look and look and look. And we got so discouraged after a while because we just couldn't find him. And then we began to wonder, well, were we dreaming? What was going on? And then a little cry came. And my brother heard it first. And he said, did you hear that? I said, what? Everybody be quiet. Shh. And sure enough, there was another cry. And somebody said, well, that's coming from Jacob the innkeeper's stable. Let's go there. And so we all ran there. And as we were getting closer, out of the shadow came this guy.
What do you want?
You know, and we're like, whoa. You know, that sort of thing. I was scared of him. And you know what? He was scared of us. We said, well, we heard a baby cry. Is there a baby in there? Why are you asking? Well, I said, I know this will sound strange, but an angel came and told us that a baby had been born in Bethlehem tonight. His name is Jesus, and he was going to be in a manger. Is there a baby in there? And he looked at us in amazement. And he said, yes, my son has just been born. Would you like to see? Well, yeah, we wanted to see. And so we went in, and sure enough, in the manger, there was mom, and there was this little baby laying in the hay, and he was crying up a storm that was just so cute and all that stuff, and it was so smelly in there, and the donkeys were in there, but he was there just like the angel said he would be. And we began to tell the mom and the dad everything that we had been told out in the field. And I could tell the mom was just going, wow, wow, really? Wow. And after that, we left the manger after we had seen him. We started going through the town saying, waking people up. Hey, did you know the Savior's been born? The Messiah's been born. And everybody looked at us like, well, how would you look at us? Like we were crazies. Running through. And then, of course, they were thinking, what else? Bunch of shepherds. They've had, whoa, way too much out there to drink, I bet, with those sheep. Look at them. They're just way out of it. And so we told everybody that we could, and then we went back to our sheep. But you know what was running through my mind as we were going into Bethlehem and as I was going back to my sheep? That statement that the angel made to us. For in the city of David has been born a Savior to you. A Savior to me. Well, what does that mean? Who needs a Savior? Well, somebody who needs help, right? I mean, you don't need to be saved unless you're in trouble. And so I began to think to myself, well, what do I need to be saved from? I'm just a shepherd. My dad was a shepherd. My grandpa was a shepherd. As far as I know, everybody was a shepherd in my family. What do I need to be saved from? And then one day I was looking at our flock, and a little lamb began to walk up toward me, just about a month old. And I was looking at it, and I was thinking, whoa, perfect body on that little lamb, and has clear eyes and straight legs. Man, that lamb would make a great sacrifice in the temple in Jerusalem. And that's when it hit me. That's when it hit me. I was the one who needed a Savior for my sins. You see, that's why little lambs were being offered in the city of Jerusalem. Day after day, month after month, year after year. You see, Moses had told us, and Isaiah had told us, and Jeremiah, and lots of other prophets had told us that as people, we were sinners. And we were rebellious. And you know what? That's all true. I was a sinner. I am a sinner. And as I thought about that and all the sacrifices, then I began to think about Jesus. Jesus was the Savior. He was coming to save me. Well, how could he do that? He's just a little baby in a manger, and I don't even know where he was at that point now. How was he going to save Simeon the shepherd? Well, years passed and years passed, and then I began to hear about a prophet who was going from Galilee, even into Samaria, back into Judea, and he was preaching about the kingdom of God being near, and he was preaching about people needing to be saved, people needing to hear what God was really all about. He was healing blind people. And lame people and lepers were touching him, and he was touching them, and they were being healed. And I began to hear the name behind the prophet, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. Why did that name ring a bell? Jesus. How did? Could it be possible that that was the little baby that I had seen all those years before? And so one day I heard he was in our area. I went to listen, and he began to talk about shepherds. And he began to talk about good shepherds and bad shepherds. And he talked about bad shepherds being those guys, you know, you would just hire to watch over your sheep. And at the first sign of trouble, if a lion came or a bear came, they would take off and run away. But he said, you know what? The good shepherd won't do that. The good shepherd will lay down his life for his sheep. And as he said those words, I realized what he was saying to Simeon, the shepherd, was this: I've come to lay down my life for you. For you, Simeon. And I still didn't understand it. How could he possibly do that? He wasn't an animal. He wasn't a little lamb. He was a man like me, but not like me. And as I found out later, he never sinned. Can you imagine that? All of his life, he had never lied once. And as he was growing up, he always obeyed his mom and dad. How hard is that? All the time. Oh, how would you have liked to have been his brother or sister? Whew. Never had an immoral thought. Never had anything but compassion and love for other people. And you would think, wouldn't you, that everybody would want to know him, would want to love him, would want to hear what he had to say. But do you know what? Some people actually hated him. The most religious leaders in my day hated him. You know why? Because they were jealous. They were jealous because crowds began to follow him. Not a few people, hundreds of people, thousands of people would come and listen to him. At one such setting, he fed over 5,000 people. He fed them through a miracle. And the religious leaders, oh, they hated him for that. Instead of embracing him, they tried to find a way, how can we get rid of this guy? Jesus had some very close followers that were called his apostles. And one of them was named Judas. And Judas decided one day that he would help the religious leaders get rid of Jesus. You see, they didn't want to just get rid of him. They wanted to kill him. But they couldn't. They couldn't do it because the Romans were in control. And only Romans could take the life of a Jewish person like that. They didn't have the power to do that. And so they began to think of lies. How can we get this guy into court? And so one night Judas betrayed Jesus into their hands. And Jesus was brought to a trial. All at night, all in secret. It was completely illegal. Even among the Jewish people, it was illegal. But they began to bring charges against him. And before you know it, he was brought before Pilate, the Roman governor. And before you know that, after he examined him, you know what Pilate said? I don't see anything wrong with this guy. But he knew the religious leaders were jealous. And so after they screamed and hollered and cried for this man's death, Jesus of Nazareth, Pilate said, take him and crucify him. And so they took him outside of the city that day, and they put him on a cross. And as he hung on that cross, you know what he said? Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. And then he said his last words, it is finished. And he died. And the curtain in the temple where everybody was offering all the lambs and the goats and the doves and the grain offerings, the curtain that separated the holy place from the holy of holy places was torn from top to bottom, and the earth shook. And God was saying, as Jesus said, "It is finished. It is finished. The sacrifice for the sins of all humanity has now been paid once for all. There is no need for any other blood to be spilled. Your blood paid for it all." And that's the good news. That's the good news. Now, you might find yourself thinking, well, if I had lived during that day, I know that I would have believed it in him for sure. You know, I mean, somebody who does miracles and stuff and walks on water and all of that, that you probably know about Jesus. If I had been there, I'd have believed. Really? Really? Do you think that's true? Do you know that today there are hundreds and hundreds of millions of people right now getting ready to celebrate Christmas? Christmas. In fact, my guess is some are shopping right now for gifts, for presents. Some are celebrating right now. They're having Christmas parties with their people that they work with. They're celebrating. But you know what? If I sit down and talk to them and even ask them, what is Christmas all about? Many of them don't have any idea. It's a celebration of the birth of Jesus the Christ. They're just celebrating. It's a reason for what? Gifts. Do you like gifts? I like gifts. It's that time of the year, isn't it? And I'm here to tell you, God has sent me here to tell you today, not only about the birth of Jesus Christ, not only the fact that he died for your sins, but he has a gift for you. He has a gift for you. It's called eternal life. And all you need to do is receive this gift. And your life will be changed. Your life will be changed. It'll be turned upside down because of what he'll do, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. Have you ever received the free gift of eternal life? You might be thinking to yourself, well, Simeon, what do you mean by that? Well, let me help you. This is a gift. It's a pretty gift, isn't it? My wife wrapped it special for me. My guess is that when you go home today, it's very possible, if not probable, that you have a tree in your house. Is that true? No tree? Do you have any tree yet? No tree yet? Tree? Okay. I'll work back here a little bit. Who had trees? Yeah. Underneath your trees, are there any things like this under there yet? No. Oh, that is just so sad. But guess what? I'm guessing by Christmas, there's going to be things like this under there. And you know what I know about those presents? On every present, there's usually a little tag. And you know what's on the tag? My name. At least I hope it's my name. You know, when my grandkids come in and they surround that tree, you know what they do when they look under the tree? You know what they're looking for? Their name. Their name on that present. And you know what? They always start with the biggest one first. Oh, that's not for me. Oh. But then they find it. And then they do this. They lift it. When you're not looking, they begin to shake. And they begin to do what? Try to guess what's inside that box. In that wrap. Or for some people who are a little lazier, in the bag.
underneath that white crinkly paper. But they want to know. And usually, you know what? When I look at that present, a lot of times, I actually know what's in there. You know why? Because I asked for it. I said, get me this. They say, what do you want? I said, get me this. They say, really? We'll have to go together on that one. Yeah. Brand new chariot with all the, you know. So a lot of times I even know what's in the gift. I even know how much it cost many times because I picked it out. But is it my gift yet? Even though I know how much it cost, even though I probably know what's already in there, even though I have it in my hands, is it mine yet? It's not mine yet. When does it become mine? When you rip that paper off. I know some of you very carefully open it. I don't. I'm a ripper. I rip it because I don't want it used again. Ha ha. So there, Judy. Ha ha. I don't want it used again. I want to get in. And the gift becomes mine when I open it and I do this. And then, of course, the words that usually come from your mouth. What are they? You shouldn't have. Do you know that the gift of eternal life is exactly the same thing? A lot of people know all about it. I've told you about the price that it cost today, Jesus' death on a cross. An incredible price. God is offering you that gift today, free. It's very possible today that you've been in a setting like this year after year, maybe Christmas service after Christmas service, and you've heard about this free gift, and you know all about it. You know Jesus was born. You know all of these things. But in the heart of hearts, you know you've never opened the gift for you. So God has sent me here today to ask you this. Will you open the gift today? Will you take it for yourself? Will you find out what's in there for me? By the way, you know what's in your box? It's just for you. It's what you've been asking for, sometimes not even knowing what it is. But when you receive the free gift of eternal life, God grabs hold of you. And your life changes. And it's great. Are you here today and need the gift? I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment. And I want you to know right now, this prayer is not going to save you. Your cry to God is what will save you. I can't open the gift for you. You have to open it for yourself. But I can tell you clearly this. If you're sitting here right now and you're thinking, I've never done that, that's God's Spirit saying to you, well, then do it. Do it today. I'm going to pray. While I pray, I want you to bow, everybody bow your heads. I want you to pray in your heart as I pray out loud. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your salvation. And God, I admit this morning, I'm a sinner. I admit today I've never opened the gift. I've never received it for me. But by faith today, I reach out my spirit. I reach out my hands to you. And I accept the gift. I receive it and open it by faith today, asking that you'll do in my life what this shepherd says you'll do. Change me from the inside out forever and ever. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I leave, I want to tell you one last thing. If you prayed that prayer today, you have to turn into a shepherd. You have to go and tell somebody. If somebody brought you and you prayed that prayer, tell them. If it's somebody in your family, tell them. You know why you need to tell them? Because it's a great step of faith. It's one way that God seals this salvation moment in your life. For unto you in the city of David has been born this day a Savior, and he is Christ the Lord.